Because of the darkness. Because of the darkness. I don't know if we're going to have our... The deacons are back there. I don't know if it's going to work. Wow, they made it work. Here we go. There we go. Into the darkness. I don't want to go there. You go there every night. Into the darkness. You go there in life because not everything is happy and joyful. You deal with problems and into the darkness. You see, it's the darkness that is the problem. With the light of day, though, when you go through it the nighttime and you've had a disrupted night and the problems come back to your mind and they swirl around in your head and you can't get to sleep because those problems are exaggerated by the darkness. No, this is a genuine psychological phenomenon that we experience. But it's interesting, if you can wait for the morning, in the light of day, have you ever noticed and paid attention that things usually look better in the light of day? That's just the way it is. But in the night, it's harder to deal with and handle those problems. And that is a genuine problem that we are challenged with. Well, the thing is, it's interesting to note in the Bible that that Scripture takes notice of these kinds of sleep disorders, especially caused by nighttime worries and the stresses of daily life and living. Turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to take a journey with the psalmists as they highlight the problems of getting through the night and the problems not just of the day, but how those problems creep into our nighttime worries and anxieties. We're going to go on this journey together with the psalmist, but I want this journey to become your journey and mine. It already is my journey too. I want this to become your journey in seeking a solution to these kinds of things. We're going to, very simply, just to give you a quick outline, we're going to look at the problem of the dark night of the soul, the struggles that we experience. With the psalmist, they announce it. They state it very clearly. And it is problematic for even the believer. Then what we're going to look to do is move toward a solution. And in that solution, we will begin to see answers. And then we will back off and look at the perspective of faith and what it does for us in dealing with the darkness and understanding that, well, you'll see. So we go from into the darkness to the problem itself. You're at the first part of Psalms, I trust, and there it is, right at the very beginning in Psalm the 6th chapter. What we're looking at in Psalm 6 is, O Lord, verse 1 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. And then he says, but you, O Lord, how long? This is one of the most plaintive cries in all of the book of Psalms. How long, Lord? How long is this going to go on, this struggle? And then he says in verse 4, turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, the grave, who will give you praise? Verse 6, I am weary with my mourning every night. I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It doesn't stop there. You'll remember another psalm, just a hop, skip, and a jump away, Psalm 22. And you know this psalm, but you don't know this psalm. This is one of those psalms you'll never fully understand and know. It was first spoken by David before it was spoken by Christ. But look at how it begins. In Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2, my God, David says, and Christ will say on the cross, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Keep that day-night combination in mind, because we're going to see it pop up quite a bit in the Psalms, especially the ones we're going to be looking at, by day, by night. You look at this, and now I'm going to ask that you turn to the 88th chapter of the book of Psalms. No one would ever choose this psalm willingly as one of their top 10 psalms in the Bible. I do. I'm weird, you know that. Psalm 88. This is a psalm pretty much like none other. And you're going to see it because this psalm has no resolution. Most of the psalms that are in the darkness, they resolve. Psalm 22 resolves beautifully if you read it through. Psalm 88 does not have any resolution. And it leaves us with no hope, seemingly. But in my list of psalms, this would be number 10. For a good reason. I think there are psalms that are much more uplifting. But we say there's no resolution. We say there's no hope. Oh, there is. If we'll just pay attention to it. But it is in the darkness. Oh Lord, verse 1. Oh Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted as among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength. Drop into verse 6. You, Lord, you have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep, and your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. In the middle of verse 9, every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. I'm reaching for you, Lord. I'm reaching. Where are you? I can't feel you. I can't touch you. Do the departed rise up and praise you? Verse 10 then goes on and says, verse 11, in your steadfast love, declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon, a place of, we would call it hell? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, verse 13 says, and 14, I, O Lord, cry to you. This is actually David's second prayer. He has many things combined with it. I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. What he says there at the end is darkness is my only friend. You say, how can you like that? Because this is real. This is real. This is true. This is gritty. Sometimes our problems go on and on. They don't seem to resolve. We get over one only to face another. And it's overwhelming. And God, how can you let that happen? But I want you to notice something. You can't believe that this is one of my favorite psalms. It's number 10. But because in this psalm, this man, in his pathetic condition in the darkness, he still is crying out to God twice, not once, but twice. He's holding on to God for dear life. He has not given up on God. And then he announces it in verse 11, the most important principle that he clings to for dear life. Is God, you're supposed to be the God of steadfast love. He knows his God. He knows something's wrong, and he's struggling with it. And this psalm has no resolution, but I think it does. When you realize what happens when you're in the darkness and it just doesn't get any better. Never, ever, ever give up on God. Amen. You go to God again and again in prayer. You hold on to, you cling to him for dear life. You trust him. And there's the beauty of this psalm. And so, what's the problem? The problem is darkness. The darkness, it's real. We, even as adults, don't really like the darkness. And you say, oh, I'm not scared of the dark. Then why do you turn the light on every time you go into a room? Why do you do that, adults? Of course you do. It's the smart thing to do. And why is it you turn the lights on your car when you go out in the darkness? And yeah, you don't like the darkness. You can't see. And that's the whole point. Even spiritually, we are more troubled in the darkness. In the darkness, and even at night. At night, we wake up, and sometimes Our thoughts can haunt us. That's what we're talking about. But what we need to do is watch the psalmist on this journey as they move toward a solution. So I ask that you turn to Psalm 32, and we're looking at a very unique psalm. This is a psalm where David has found forgiveness, grace. This is a psalm that reflects his background with his sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah the Hittite, the horrible things he did. And he stayed in that condition for a mighty long time before he repented. And when he repented, here's the song ultimately that he sang. You know, it says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. And then we drop down, verse 3. For when I kept silent, like he did at least 9 months before he came to terms with what he had done. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand, O Lord, was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as in the heat of summer. What is this? Well, I would suggest to you that in the darkness, as you struggle with life, and matters of life and death and sin and everything going on and stress in your life. Well, David is acknowledging and telling us what should you do when your life is in darkness and you're struggling with the stresses of life? Realize that you are always under the hand of God and under the discipline of God. But I didn't do anything wrong. I know that. There may be times when you didn't do anything wrong and you still have problems. David did something horrible, but he's telling us that in that time where he was living under the righteous hand of God and he did something that was sinful, he couldn't live with himself and he couldn't live without God. And that's always a time to do a little bit of introspection, but not just looking in on yourself, but looking up to God. And he found grace and he found forgiveness. And so that's wonderful. And there's the discipline that moving toward a solution. Realize that these are times of darkness that we are living in. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks, months, years. We're filled with fear and concerns. And, well, we need to take a self-inventory of our lives so that we can draw closer to God, so that we're not living in sin, which will hinder everything. And then there's something else. Turn over to Psalm 63. And just follow through on this journey with the psalmist. In Psalm 63, it starts out and it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. And as we continue in Psalm 63, he talks about because your steadfast love is better than life. Every one of these psalms almost that talks about the darkness and the struggle, sooner or later, one way or another, even Psalm 88 did this, it injects this steadfast love concept. And as you continue, it goes on and says in verse 5, my soul will be satisfied with the fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed. And meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is part of the solution, moving toward a solution. In the middle of the night when you're troubled, your thoughts trouble you and they swirl about in your head and you're suffering under the pressures of life and the daily grind of it all. And nighttime is a horrible time for many who wake up thinking about everything going on. And what do? This is moving toward a solution. You keep God front and center, foremost in your life, in your thoughts, in your prayers. You meditate on your bed in the watches of the night. You remember God and you remember while you may be in the darkness, you are still under the shadow of God's wings. I love that beautiful image there in verse 7. And then he says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And so what do? You quit focusing and becoming obsessed about all the bad things. You make a choice and a decision to change your direction in your thoughts and you start meditating and thinking about God and His righteousness and His glory and His grace. That's what it's about. Look over to the 77th chapter of Psalms. And in the 77th chapter, we're looking at a day of trouble. And the psalmist, who is Asaph in this, I cry aloud to the Lord, verse 1 says. I cry aloud to the Lord, aloud to God, and he will hear me in Psalm 77, verse 1. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. Look at this. And we saw that in the previous psalm. In the day of trouble, what do you do? I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. I'm not going to give up. Doesn't mean everything will be resolved in 10 minutes or even 10 days. I will seek the Lord, and my right hand will be stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. And you just drop down a little bit in verse 6. I said, here is where the psalmist is talking about himself. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search, a fearless self-inventory, as it were. Because of the problems the psalmist is talking about that he had, that we have in our lives, what do? Especially when you wake up in the middle of the night and all of it floods into your life and your mind and your thoughts and it destroys your sleep. And well, that's okay. We live under the discipline of the Lord. What we see here in this psalm is a determination that we have that in spite of all of that, we will continue to seek the Lord. We will continue to trust him and in his righteousness. So we're moving toward a solution, and now we look for the perspective, how the psalmist gives us an incredible perspective for whatever we're going through in our life, and however that may disrupt our sleep, our thoughts in the night, as we awaken and oh no, these thoughts come and they stir around and they trouble us more than they do in the daytime. Well, we're still looking at day and night. Turn with me to Psalm 42. And I'm going to let you know that as we're looking at these psalms, we're only reading a part of them. You ought to go back and read the entire psalms that we have only read parts of. But here, as the second book in the book of Psalms begins, you need to note something special, unique, almost exceptional about this psalm. Chapter 42 and 43 are a unit, but they're separated into two chapters in Psalm. You cannot read one without reading the other. And we know it so well because our good song leaders, they lead this all the time. As the deer pants for flowing streams, the 42nd chapter says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears, see, we forget that's a happy, joyful song. But look at this psalm. It goes back and forth between the joy of the Lord and the sorrow that we find in life and its struggles. My tears have been my food day and night, while others say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. And it continues to talk about the struggles. And the last part, well, you need to note there's a refrain in this psalm two times and in the next psalm, Psalm 43, one time. This psalm goes up and down and all around. He's on an emotional roller coaster ride, and we are riding that emotional roller coaster right now in our journey. Verse 5 and verse 6. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so depressed and discouraged and sorrowful? Why are you so cast down, O my soul? He's having a good pep talk, a self-talk here. And why are you in turmoil within me? Do you ever wonder about that? Why thoughts sometimes just flood your heart and overwhelm you in the moment? And then look at what he says. You want to talk about this perspective? The very next statement, it says, hope in God. After saying, why are you so downcast? Hope in God. He's now pulling himself up and looking up. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And you'll notice that this cycle repeats again. And one more time after that in the 42nd chapter and then the 43rd chapter. And there's a perspective that we certainly need to have. Let's see that once again by simply going to Psalm 99. And in Psalm 92, here's another psalm that shows the same principle. In Psalm 92, we read this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. So sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness in the night. There it is. For verse 4 says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. at the words of your hands, I will sing for joy. At the works of your hands, I will sing for joy. What's the perspective here? It's very simple. Every one of these negative psalms we looked at, with exception of Psalm 22, but that one ends triumphantly. With every single one of these psalms that is talking about the darkness, they inject the principle of steadfast love and faithfulness in them, and that is the perspective that we, as the righteous people of God, that's the perspective we will have. Even in the darkness, we're going to hold to the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. That's what it's about. Now turn to Psalm 30. Here's another perspective that will aid us in these dark times and in the dark night of the soul that we may be experiencing from time to time. But as we look at Psalm 30, I love this. It starts out saying in Psalm 30 verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. He goes on and talks about, you have brought me from the depths of Sheol in verse 3. But we go to verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. Think of that as disciplinary anger. Not anger in that he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to discipline you and make you better. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. You know how I got through the spankings I got? And I got several growing up. My mom was the disciplinarian par excellence in the family. She was good. Or should I say bad? No, but it was rough sometimes when I got a spanking from mom. You know what got me through? I knew she loved me, and I knew that this would not go on forever. I knew it would eventually end, and she would express her love to me and her comfort. And that his anger is but for a moment. The Lord God's anger is but for a moment. If we think that he's angry and his wrath is being revealed, and it's part of the discipline of the Lord, but his favor is for a lifetime. The troubles we go through are momentary for the most part, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One of the things I've had to learn when I wake up and my thoughts trouble me and I can't get back to sleep, and oh, I could worry and fret about all of that, or I could inject into the middle of the midnight terrors. Well, they're not terrors as such. I could inject into the middle of everything, this too will end, and God will bring me through this night, and the morning will come with its light, and things will be better. And they usually are. They usually are. That's just the way it is. Even the psychologists admit these kinds of things with our nighttime anxieties. So momentary troubles, here it is. A lifetime of blessings. Look at the next one. Does that sound familiar? We're putting it up there first because the fire of the Lord still burns. Huh? In our last couple of sermons, what we've talked about is the fire of the Lord. Remember the cloud of fire, the ring of fire, the wall of fire? The fire of the Lord still burns. That fire's never gone out. That's the most incredible thing of all. In the book of Psalms, we have this unusual metaphor being used again, and actually several times. Turn to the 74th chapter of Psalms, and we're actually looking at a creation psalm. There are various hymns of creation scattered throughout the Bible, and this happens to be one. And if you will, just look at verse 12 in Psalm 74. God is my king. He's from old. He's working salvation in the midst of the earth. And then verse 13. Interesting. You, Lord, you divided the sea by your might. You broke the head of the sea monsters on the waves. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. Wow. Verse 16. In this creation psalm, what we're looking at is what God did in the creation of separating the waters, dividing the waters from the land, and he talks about monsters doing this. But here's the key. Look at verse 16. Do not forget this. Yours, Lord, is the day. Yours also is the night. Who owns the night? God does. You know, we talk about the nighttime being filled with demons. This is how our culture and many cultures look at the, you know, it's the ghosts and the goblins and the demons and witches and war, you know, warlocks and all the evil of the night. And no, No, 1,000 times no. God owns the day. He owns the night. It's His. He's established the heavenly lights of the sun and the moon and the stars. He has fixed the boundaries of the earth. He's created the heavens and the earth and the seasons. It all belongs to Him. You don't like the night? Okay, that's fine. Like I said, most of us have some concerns about nighttime and darkness. But don't forget, God owns the night. Wait a minute. Does this sound familiar? The Psalms are most interesting because they're not all just poems as such. They are all poetry. But what we're looking at, there are some Psalms of history. Songs sung about Israel's own history. If you will, turn to the 78th chapter. Realize it's a very long chapter. And we're just simply going to look. And this Psalm is recounting the history of Israel with God. It's recounting Israel's failures in their history and God's faithfulness in the history. And one of the things that said in Psalm 78 verse 14, remember day, night concepts? In the daytime, He, the Lord God, led them, Israel, with a cloud. And all the night with a fiery light. Oh, that's what we looked at. That's where we started this whole series, these sermons, as we're looking at providence and God's care. The cloud of the pillar and the cloud of fire and an awesome wonder was over Israel all the time. And here are the Psalms. It's not the only one. Turn quickly to Psalm 105. And just notice we have another Psalm of history going over Israel's history. Again, it's mostly the failure of Israel, but the faithfulness of God. And in Psalm 105, in verse 39, look at it again. He, the Lord God, in the process of the Exodus and saving His people, He, verse 39 says, He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. There it is. See, even in the night, all you have to do is look up, look out, and see God's power and remember what He has done through history. That's the fire. The fire of the Lord still burns. You think that when that pillar of cloud and fire was put out by the Lord, when basically Israel got to the promised land and was about to go in, all that changed and poof, it went out. You think that was the end of the Lord and His fire and the principles of His providence and care? Absolutely not. What we see in those three stories we told about the cloud of fire, the ring of fire, the wall of fire, the Lord simply showed who He was and who He always is. And for us as believers, well, nothing's changed. The fire of the Lord still burns in your heart, in my heart, doesn't it? Look quickly at Psalm 91 verse 5. And you see another beautiful metaphor about what's really going on in the darkness and about the darkness. These last two Psalms are spectacular. In Psalm 91 verse 1, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And He will deliver you. This psalmist goes on and teaches us in verse 3. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the daily pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, small fluffy feathers. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Just continue to read this psalm and you begin. You don't have anything to fear by day or by night. It doesn't matter. And then I told you I have my top 10 psalms. Well, Psalm 88 is at the bottom of that list, but that's okay. It's still top 10. And Psalm 139, that's my number one psalm. That's me personally. I would put this as probably the most spectacular psalm that has the greatest meaning for me. I don't know about you, but let me just share this with you. There's lots of things in this. Verse 7 of Psalm 139, what we see being said by David, where shall I go from Your Spirit, Lord? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? He's not trying to run away. He's just simply stating, Lord, You're always there. You're always around me. That's the point we're making here. If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there Your hand will lead me and Your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me will become night. This is it. Even the darkness is not dark to you, Lord. For night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. That's it right there. You put these last two together and here's what you see in the perspective we need to have. God's providential protection is all around us. And then ultimately we see the darkness is light to the Lord. And I want you to just focus on something right there. The middle one of these five we're looking at is the fire of the Lord still burns. It was never put out. The fire continues. It touches our lives. And it symbolizes all the things we're looking at. Every time the fire was used, it was about providence. It was about protection. It was about the presence of God. The fire of the Lord still burns in us. One of the things interesting about the Psalms is that when you consider this book of Psalms, one of the things they say that's rather shocking is, Lord, wake up! They actually said that. Even Isaiah the prophet said that. Lord, wake up! Let me go to a wake-up call for you right now. In the Gospel of Mark, the disciples said the same thing to Jesus. Wake up, Jesus! Why are you sleeping? Now you probably know the context. As you look at the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, in verse 35, on that day, when evening had come, so it's getting darker, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was. So Jesus came along and they're going. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose in the night. And the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're dying here. And Jesus awoke. And rebuked, quieted, hushed the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said to his disciples, he's still saying this to us. When we falter, when we have trouble, when we're weak in times that are oppressive like we're living in, he says, why are you so afraid? Verse 40 says, have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You want to know how to get through the times in which we're living? In fact, the uncertain times in which we're living that can scare us to death because of all the evil that's exploded all around us. There it is. The fire of the Lord still burned. And may that fire burn in you and in me. And may we allow the fear of the Lord to control all other fears. And may that fear of the Lord Jesus Christ grow our faith. May we live for him. The question is, does the fire of the Lord still burn in you, in me? Is that barely a flickering flame? Is it been snuffed out? Oh, beloved, if you need prayers, if you need to be strengthened, return to the Lord, return to his people. Become a part of the family of faith. Let the fire of the Lord never go out in you. May it never go out in me. But may it burn brighter in times just like this. If you're subject to the gospel call, if there's something we can do to help you in your spiritual needs, to help you grow stronger with the Lord, if you need to be baptized, will you come as together we stand and sing this song?
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, building us, look to realms above. Wow.